The healing frequencies are open because this is Geek History Lesson Extra, and I am Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you are beautiful, sexy patrons who support us here on Patreon. And today, friends, we are joined by a beautiful, sexy guest, Mr. John Levesay, who we bullied into sticking around.
That's right. We called Howard Porter, and we said, what can we do to threaten John to stay for more time? And Howard was like, "You know, here's do this, do this, do this. And John showed up. So, John, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for coming for more.
No, thank you. Thank you.
John, one thing that we didn't get into in the main episode that I definitely wanted to talk about is that you also have a comic book collection basically to die for. You have a lot of key issues. You have a lot of comic books. And so I wanted to dig into your collection because not only do you work in comic books, like you're just a huge fan of it. So real quickly, like how many do you know how many comic books you own?
No, I probably did before I moved. I used to live in Detroit, and then when I got I moved out to California in the January 1997 to start working at Extreme, and then I went to Top Cow. I think right up to that point, I was more super aware of like, all right, I have this many issues and this many blah, blah, blah. But when I started working overly full time doing comics, I just was buying stuff, and I am not as organized as I should be. Like if I'm looking for an issue, I generally know what box it's in, but now there's stuff I know I have, like there's a couple issues I cannot find, and then it just irritates me. Or stuff is so buried, if I want to reread it again, I'll just go buy a trade or something on Amazon. I don't know. So, but I do not know. I have a lot. I don't have as much as other people because my wife will tell you I have too much stuff, but I have been to other people's houses. And if I say they have too much stuff, you know, it's a problem.
You know, it's
say
too much.
Their names. I'm joking.
No, I was like, dude, I go, this is way too much stuff. I go, even I've got a limit. So, you know, because my wife would say, there's too much, too much, too much. I was like, no, it's...
Is it currently taking up, is it inside a room in your house or the garage or do you have a storage unit?
It's just, you know, I have a lot of stuff in storage. Okay. And, you know, I have a lot of stuff in storage. I have a handful of stuff in like safety deposit boxes in the bank and stuff. Just to keep it, you know, it's safe. It's not going to get bent or touched or...
Well, anything, I gotta start there. If you are using Vault Security... Which of your key
no,
issues?
No, I mean it's not like
bank?
I have. No, it's not like a book. Yeah, it's not like a book would be worth. You know, it's not worth like you know $300,000. But it's just better. You know, we have the dumb box, so I don't know what else we're gonna really put in there. That was the thing. I was like, well, let's just put it in there for a while, and I just never took them out. So,
I just think about the nuclear disaster that's 100 years down the road, and like 1,000 years down the road, another archaeologist comes to yes. this bank and they open it yeah. up and they're like, Spider-Man, like what? Why is that in here?
I should have my stuff way more organized. I have a great memory, but once in a while there'll be something I can't find. And then it'll irritate me to no end. And then I was like, oh, I just gotta forget about it.
Well, if you were to make a guess, what do you think is the most valuable issue you own? Or maybe the most valuable to you personally?
I don't know about... It's so different now with, like, you almost can't go off. Like, even the Overstreet price guide is basically just a baseline. Mm-hmm. Like... pricing is still different now with all the auction houses and the Instagram, you know, guys that are selling stuff, and everything's going for crazy dough. So I think the rarest book I have, which I wasn't even aware of this till about like 12 years ago. And I'm a very serious comic historian buff, but there was a comic company called Centaur Comics that started maybe even before DC. It was in the mid 30s. Like, you know, 36, 37. And their books are very hard to find because from the lore I have heard is the paper they use for those comics was even cheaper paper than the pulp paperbacks. And we already know the pulp paper was terrible. It's pulp. So finding those books in high grade is very hard. And there's, you know, certain collectors are very desirable. And I have, there's a title they had called The Arrow. And I have there was only three issues. Issue one, you can find it once in a while. You know, it comes up. Maybe there's like 25 graded on the CGC sentences. Issue two pretty much never shows up. It's very rare. I have two copies of that. I just, my good fortune and timing, I randomly, I have one that's graded at a 7, which is one of the highest graded copies. And there's only 11 graded of that number two in the CGC census. And I have a second copy that's graded at a 4. And I almost bought a third copy that was so just beat up. I was going to buy it and then just film me throwing it in the fireplace to make my other copies worth more.
Oh, wow.
I've thought of doing that a handful of times, and it's very diabolical where, like, if there was a rare book and I would go up and go out and buy all the very poor beat up copies and just throw them all, film me throwing me all in the fireplace and make my high grade copies, you know, quadruple in value.
You're like me opening action figures on an Instagram live, watching people be like, no, don't do it.
And I haven't done that yet, but I had thought of that a long, 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 long time ago. And I just, I think the rarest book I own in my collection is that Arrow 2. And the other thing I've been looking for is the issue 3, which it basically doesn't exist. I've seen one copy, and Metropolis had a 9.2 of it, and they wanted like around 7 grand for it, which is crazy. But it doesn't exist. So I'm happy with the two copies of number two I have. But I generally try to go for obscure, rarer stuff than... It's nice having Spider-Mans, and it's nice having Batmans and everything, and those books are great, and you can read those all the time. But my theory... And I don't know if anyone would agree with me. I like having the really offbeat rare stuff that I know will, if I needed to, you know, if something came up and there's an emergency and you actually needed to sell something, those things could sell very quickly for a lot of money. But if I had a Spider-Man 10 or an FF 10, you can go on eBay every day and there is an unlimited supply of those. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might not get the money you think you should get for a low number Spidey or an FF or whatever. So, you know, if those things are great, I love having those and they're amazing books. But if I was going to be real serious about getting those, I would want them in very high grade. You know, if it was a choice of getting like a super beat up copy, I'd rather just spend the dollar and get a reprint or something.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think? Do you think in terms of finding key issues and collecting that certain stuff, is it harder to find certain Marvel stuff compared to DC stuff? Is there a run out there, like a Luminary run, that if you're trying to find like high grade copies of, are just like near impossible to find?
I would take a wild guess that the Marvel stuff would be easier. Just because everyone was, and this is just my theory. I don't know if it's actual fact, but I would think that the Marvel stuff at that point, the stories were so loved by everybody because it was a continuing soap opera. All the Marvel stuff was just a continuing thing where when I was a kid and I was reading DC books back then, they just weren't, you know, the art was cool and everybody loves Batman and Superman and all that stuff. But, you know, they'd have the stories to be maybe not too serious or... was it Elseworld? Is that what they called those things back in the 60s? Yeah.
Elseworld was like later in the 80s, but yes, I understand what you mean.
But it was, they had a term. They did have a term in the 60s for that one where like Superman now is a goat or, you know, Lois Lane, they had that issue where she,
was it Imaginary Stories or
something like that? There was a term, I'm blanking on what it is, but, it didn't seem like they really had like a continuous thing. Like they'd have a one issue adventure and that was it or something else. Or they'd have like these naughty kids from the future and come in, they'd screw up the weather and then, you know, Martian Manhunter would have to stop them and whatever. So, but I think it might be harder finding some of the DC books in high grade because they maybe weren't as coveted as everybody keeping their Spider-Mans. And also the big thing with all the Marvel books is like, you know, I think in the beginning of the 70s, they had a lot of the covers that were black borders or all black, and getting those in high grade is really difficult because you can see every defect on the cover. So I actually tried looking for recently. There was a nice high grade copy of Amazing Spider-Man 104, which had a black cover with Kraven on it. And yeah, it's going for some good money. So I hadn't picked it up yet. I have a regular mid grade one, but I was like, you know, I'm trying to maybe pick up some more of the black covers. I know Marvel's doing a lot of those back then. And yeah, they're very hard to find in high grade.
Besides the Arrow, are you currently hunting for anything or looking out for anything?
No, I was very fortunate. I picked up the bulk of my collection when I was in grade school and high school. And I had been working. I got part-time jobs starting in seventh grade because I just wanted to have more money to buy comics. And you could buy way more back then. So I was getting a ton of new books every week. And then staring at the like the old, more expensive issues. You know, every comic shop had that glass case where they'd have the Primo back issues in there. And I'd be sitting there, be staring. And I was way into the Flash. That was my first thing I really put in the series collecting for DC title when I was, I don't know, maybe 13 or something like that, or 12. And I just was trying to get those old 10 cent issues. And I was looking and looking and looking. And my goal was to get a Flash 105. I wasn't going to be able to afford a Showcase 4. But, you know, the lowest one I was able to get was that First Kid Flash. I had a Flash 110, and then I had just random issues going forward.
So Flash 105 is the first appearance of Mirror Master, right?
Yes, and okay. That is the first time of Barry Allen on the title going forward. So okay. Barry Allen's first appearance at Showcase 4, which goes for a fortune. So his, you know, he had a couple more appearances in like Showcase 8, and then I believe 13 and 14, and then he got back on the old title because they stopped it for a while because it just, you know, just comics in the 50s weren't selling because of the whole Supreme Court stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just was trying to get those old Flash issues. So I had a ton of them. And weirdly enough, the one I never got that first Reverse Flash. I don't know why. I never got that Flash 139, and now it bugs me that I don't have it.
So if someone has one, hit up John.
You know what?
Soup.cc's.
Yes, exactly.
I'm directly there.
You know, weirdly enough, I got past the collecting thing of, all right, maybe if I donate some blood tomorrow, I'll have just enough money to go get this thing, or I can sell this, or I can whatever. I pushed past that collecting thing a bunch of years ago where, you know what? I have a lot of nice stuff, and I've been very, very lucky that I picked all the stuff up back in the day, you know, 'cause especially now people getting key issues. Like, you know, I don't have a Werewolf by Night 32, that first Moon Knight. When I was a kid, nobody cared about that book. You could have found that in the corner of it. No one cared about that stuff. Nobody did. And it is insane that that is so, it's got to be like one of the most desirable Bronze Age books. And that is going for sick, sick money. But nobody cared about that stuff back then. So you can literally, you probably could have found that in the dollar bin forever.
Go ahead, Ashley.
I was going to say that always reminds me of like anything, any of those early Thanos issues. Because even when I started working in comics retail, those were like maybe $20 books.
And maybe.
Now, like, no shop has them. The high grade ones are like a grand. And I was like, wow, yeah. I remember when we couldn't get rid of those
couldn't
issues.
Give those away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I picked up, I got a super duper high grade Iron Man 55, probably early 90s. I don't know, maybe 92. And I bet you I paid a couple bucks for it. You know, it just, it was the thing. It wasn't a big deal back then. You know, people are more into getting like the super keys, like a Showcase 4 and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just wasn't a thing. You could go and since I did grow up in Detroit, from what I have been told, Michigan was the first state to implement like a discount for a comic club. So if you got your new books every week, you would get your 25% off. And in 1980, 25% off your total order was a ton of savings. So I was buying everything. I picked up every book except for Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Conan.
Oh, Jason's little heart is breaking. Those are two faves in there.
Right. I know. I did like Justice League, so I liked them in the books. But
I didn't read Superman until I was an adult person, so I understand that completely.
But you know, when John Byrne came on and revamped it, that was a different story. It's great. But yeah, back then everything was so cheap, and then getting that 25% on club discount, you could just buy every, I mean, I was buying everything, and at this back then the cover price was nothing.
Well, let me ask you this final question here for collecting key issues. Again, like with people collecting comic book art and original pages, you know, people want to get into collecting key issues. And I agree with the thing of that you should collect what you love. I mean, I own a 9.8 slabbed Spider-Man 2099 number one. And the reason why I own that is because that was a gift. Spider-Man 2099 number one was given to me as a gift, like way back in the day. So like to have that like in a mint top quality is like, it means something to me.
Yeah, that's the best part, is that if you have a deep connection to that issue or a book or something, that's the best part.
Where do you find nowadays is the best place to find key issues? Is it better to go to conventions, or is that I just all been replaced online?
Well, let's see what happens now going forward with conventions coming back. I mean, obviously last year was a complete mess, and the whole Instagram selling books took off like wildfire. So I think you can still find stuff on eBay, but it's hit or miss. I don't know. I haven't bought anything on eBay in a long time. And it seems like either if you have a key issue in high grade, everyone's taking it to auction houses, or they're just trying to sell it on Instagram.
Yeah, the auctions have become like, the heritage auctions has become a bigger and bigger thing. And I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah, because we can't afford any of it.
Well, yeah, I have not bought anything on the auction things, only because you're already going to pay a ton for the page. And then you get the luxury of having to pay this buyer's fee and then another fee. And there was one page I almost picked up like 4 years ago. And after we calculated what the buyer's fee was going to be and then this fee, and I was like, dude, I'm not dropping another like $1,200 on top of paying this. I was like, forget it. I can live without that page. It's, I just, you know, the auctions are good. They're bringing in a lot of awesome stuff that people are picking up. So, and it maybe is helping convince people like, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna sell this, or, you know, eBay's a hassle. So you're getting some primo stuff in there, but I think, you know, Instagram is pretty good right now. And, you know, when conventions are in full force, whether it's 2 months from now or in November this year, you're gonna see a lot of stuff just come out. And even like a lot of the dealers I've talked to, they're running out of stock because everyone isn't buying up everything. So hopefully new collections are gonna come up, and, you know, there's always gonna be things finding around. Yeah, I mean, that would be the place. I would say definitely, you know, let's see what cons look like soon. But, you know, like I said, don't rush. Don't rush and buy something, you know, unless you did find, you know, that's the book you're looking for and it's the price you're comfortable with. And don't, you know, if you're at a con, you can still barter a little bit. You know, don't give them a crazy low number. But, you know, if you're like, hey, you know, if I'm paying in cash, can you give me this little bit off? And usually they'll do it. You know, just be polite about it.
All right, patrons. Well, I want to tell you again, go to Zoop, that's ZOOP.gg/c/slowcityblues, or if you Google Zoop or Slow City Blues, you'll find it. Go support John's comic. It's about a detective, and I don't know, I would call it very noirish. I'm a backer of this. Zoop is basically, if you don't know what Zoop is, it's kind of like Kickstarter, except a lot cooler for the creators. So definitely go over and support it. It is completely funded, so you definitely will get your copy, which is really nice.
And everything is done. So all 5 issues are ready to go. Everything is done. Every cover is turned in. There'll be no waiting for us to finish pages or finish drawing the book. So,
and by the time this goes up, I believe there will only be about 12 days left to pick it up. So definitely go check that out.
Anybody who might be interested in collecting art, we have a handful of pages for sale. You go to the bottom of the page, there's a handful of pages, and there's even a commission section. So if you got to have us draw you Spawn or one of the characters from Slow City or Wolverine, you know, it's there.
Great way to start your collection.
That is way to start your collection. Yes. That is great.
And I will make sure I put 1,000% into it. If you get a commission, I wanted to give you the con experience. Like if you're going to go to convention, oh, I'm going to get a sketch from you, and you know, it'll look like a con sketch, but if I'm doing it here at the house, you'll get a full blown out, my regular super professional Marvel or DC page done.
I'm looking at one of the artboard commissioned by Sean Maul and John here. There's only been one claimed, and they're $375 a pop, which I will tell you is a steal for most conventions.
For you getting a full penciled and fully inked piece of whatever character you want.
Yeah, that's pretty great. So everybody go check that out at zoop.gg/c/slowcitybooze. We'll also have a link below this. John, real quick, tell them where your Twitter is just in case they want to go find the campaign that way.
Yeah, so my Twitter is the number one. So it's @1JohnLevesay. And then you could also go, if you have any questions about the comic Slow City Blues, you can go to our Twitter and Instagram. It's @SCBComics.
Nice. Well, John, thank you again for joining us for more talk.
No, thank you. This is great. Thanks.
It was a lot of fun. We learned like all the...
I don't even think I got to everything. I could be talking about this
for hours. I don't think there is any way to get to everything.
Consider this a verbal us bending your arm behind your back to say, you're going to have to come back, John.
Yes. I mean, I have hundreds of stories. I remember all the great issues I bought. Like I even remember what I paid for some of the issues back in the day.
Well, that'll just lead us to a part two.
Or the few regrets I had. Two major regrets about selling. My dealer buddy convinced me to sell him these two issues, and I paid almost nothing for them. They'd be worth so much money now, and it's so dumb. And it's like, but I did make him give me a colossal amount of store credit. So at the time, it seemed fine, but now in 2021, it seemed very dumb.
Well, there you go. That's a story that we'll have to learn on another episode. John, thanks so much for joining us, man.
No, thank you very much. It was great. Thank you.
And everybody here on Patreon, thank you so much for supporting the podcast. That's the reason why we can talk to John for 20 minutes about these crazy stories, and we appreciate it so much. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And goodbye, super friends.
Bye.